It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Friday, April 26, 2024. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Over 150 teachers, students, and other supporters put on red T-shirts and stood under blue skies at Sitka's downtown roundabout on Wednesday, many holding signs reading Raise the BSA. Afterwards, several attended a school board budget hearing to press the board for more concrete details about staff and program reductions next year, which are beginning to look inevitable. Ryan Myers is a non-tenured math teacher whose job could well disappear next year. He told the board he would rather have the bad news sooner than later.
I mean, I've obviously been looking at jobs, and every week the number of available jobs in this everywhere just goes down, down, down because everyone's looking. I mean, so the longer I wait, the fewer jobs I've got to choose from. And you know, I'm trying to make choices about whether I'm going to leave my son here to finish school and have to go live somewhere else. And these are choices I would like to get on with.
The school board is considering two no-win scenarios, even if the legislature and the governor come to an agreement before the end of the legislative session in May. The first assumes that the state will come to the rescue with a one-time increase of $500 to the BSA, which would still mean a loss of 18 staff positions in the Sitka School District. Incoming Superintendent Deidre Jensen advocated for the $500 assumption because the other alternative, a one-time increase of only $340 to the BSA, was both painful to contemplate and would force the elimination of programs that might never come back. 22 teachers would be fired under this scenario. There would be far fewer classes in the middle and upper grades, and those classes would be larger. Jensen did not mince words.
The cuts are going to be hard no matter what. It's going to hurt deep, and our kids are going to pay.
Jensen argued that it would be preferable to plan a reasonable schedule next year and cut back only if forced to. Elementary school music teacher Susan Brandt Ferguson, however, believed it was time to inform the public about what was on the line under either the $500 or $340 BSA scenario.
The lack of funding will compromise the quality of our programs because we, as much as we would like to be superheroes, we're not. And there's a point at which when you take on more students, you take on more classes, you take on more this or that, it does compromise the quality of our programs. So, and I know it's not you doing that, but there's only so much we can do.
The board itself was split on which BSA scenario to build next year's budget on, with Steve Morse leaning toward $500 and Todd Gebler and Tristan Gavon more comfortable with $340. The board hasn't made a decision yet because they haven't had to, and some variables, such as next year's health insurance premiums, remain unsettled. But time is running out for the board to choose a number, and for over a dozen Sitka teachers, even under the most optimistic scenario, to pack up their classrooms. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey. The Sitka School Board will hold a public budget hearing 9 a.m. to noon this Saturday, April 27th, in the district office boardroom. Around 100 people, many wearing red, flooded the sidewalks of Petersburg's downtown on Wednesday. They also were marching in support of increased state funding for education. Petersburg's protest event was part of a statewide day of action organized by the Alaska branch of the National Education Association, a union of more than 10,000 public education employees statewide. People in Petersburg, Sitka, and more than a dozen other communities around Alaska participated in protest events, all of which took place outside of school hours so that student learning would not be disrupted. KFSK's Hannah Floor caught up with the downtown crowd and shared this audio postcard.
I'm Eleanor. I'm here because I've seen the problems that not having enough funding causes, and I don't want that to be our future. We lose our really, like, our elective programs. We lose a lot of the things that make our school special. We lose more advanced classes, and all of these are really important to creating our school culture and giving back to our community. And we can't do that if we don't have enough funding.
I'm Sue Paulson, and I'm in support of keeping the basic student allowance at the state of Alaska higher than it is today. It's been flat for so long, we can't afford to pay the
people. What's wrong with those states? The borough is great!
You don't have any kids in the school system. You're not a teacher. Why does this matter to you?
Well, I would like to have our town be full of educated people, and I want for the kids. You know, the governor and the legislature let the kids down this year. They should be ashamed, and they should be immediately rushing to their computers and typing in that larger number and passing it out this year.
Education!
My name is Joe Willis, and my beautiful wife is an educator. All of our kids have went through the school system. We still have one that's got 4 years left, and there's been no change in funding since our child that has been out of school for a couple of years was just going into junior high.
I'm Cindy Lagadakis. I'm here because I support education and I support Petersburg schools. We're having hiring challenges. We have maintenance issues we need to deal with. We have more complexity in dealing with students. Life is more complex than it was when I was a student, and there are more things that need to be taught in a more complicated way, and we can't do that without funding.
I'm Elsa Winterstein, normally known as Mrs. Winterstein, and I teach high school English and drama. I think that, you know, the school, the district, the borough, we're all on the same page when it comes to funding for our kids, because, I mean, what makes our children better makes Petersburg better and gives us a stronger future here in the state.
My name is Cora, and I'm in first grade.
And will you tell me what your sign says?
We will remember in November.
The Alaska House of Representatives on Wednesday approved a proposal that would ban children under 14 from creating social media accounts. The measure came as an amendment to an otherwise unrelated bill that would require adult websites to verify users that are 18 or older. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, it received significant bipartisan support.
Anchorage Democratic Representative Andrew Gray says inspiration for the social media measure comes from an unlikely source, a conservative Republican governor thousands of miles away.
This amendment is based almost verbatim on a bill signed into law last month in Florida, drafted by Governor Ron DeSantis.
Verbatim might be a stretch. The 20-page Florida bill came to the Alaska House as a 3-page amendment, but the concept is the same. The amendment would ban kids under 14 from creating accounts on social media platforms. 14 and 15-year-olds would need written parental consent to create an account, and people under 14 would have their existing accounts deleted. Gray says it's aimed at keeping kids safe.
According to the U.S. Surgeon General, nearly 40% of children 8 to 12 years old and 95% of children 13 to 17 years old use social media apps. Teens who spend more than 3 hours a day on social media double their risk of depression and anxiety.
And his colleagues agreed. The Alaska House of Representatives approved the amendment in a late-night 27-11 bipartisan vote. Some of the youngest House lawmakers, though, were split. 28-year-old Representative Genevieve Mina, an Anchorage Democrat, recalled encountering troubling content on the Bizarro image board 4chan as young as 10 years old. She spoke in support of limiting kids' social media use.
I don't usually say that I'm an expert on anything, but I feel like I'm an expert on being a girl on the internet. I've lived this, right? And I think there's a really important nuance in this conversation when we're talking about social media and the role that it plays in young women and young girls and the impacts on mental health.
But Alaska's youngest city lawmaker spoke out against the ban. 26-year-old Representative C.J. McCormick, a Democrat from Bethel, recalled how social media helped him keep in touch with family and also played a key role in pressuring rap star Kendrick Lamar into following through on a promise to visit Bethel. That's after students won a college prep contest.
The reward was Kendrick Lamar was supposed to be our principal for the day. Unfortunately, Kendrick Lamar didn't want to come out to Alaska, so all he got was a Skype call.
That is until some Bethel kids got on Twitter and started making a ruckus. Kendrick Lamar eventually showed up, along with NBA star James Harden. McCormick says the episode says something about the power of social media to affect change in the world.
So I'm not here to talk about, oh yeah, we got celebrities, you know, we need social media, but rather it was an incredibly powerful opportunity for kids from a rural district to really participate on a national level.
Also opposing the bill was Wasilla Republican Representative David Eastman. He raised free speech concerns. He said he was concerned the limits on social media were so broadly written that large swaths of the internet could be off limits. Federal judges have blocked similar laws targeting children's use of social media in Arkansas and Ohio. Others speaking against the bill said they were concerned the social media limits hadn't been studied closely enough by lawmakers. Here's Homer Republican Representative Sarah Vance. She's the sponsor of the underlying age verification bill.
The idea may be merited, but the details of the bill have great importance. And we're not here to pass ideas, we're here to pass good laws.
But many of her colleagues rebuffed Vance's request for more time, and the amendment passed with significant bipartisan support. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
I'm Robert Woolsey, and this has been Raven News.